I read this week, and when I'm done, you'll understand who it was. We're going to put every effort we have, and led by the Holy Spirit, into preparing you to do the work of the ministry. And don't crawl beneath your chairs, because I believe that every single believer has a power within them to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. And what I want to happen through this body is that that becomes a priority. It's great to lead people to Christ, but too often we stop and we don't equip them to do the work of the ministry. And so for the next few weeks, or however God leads, we're going to be teaching, especially today, on the supernatural. How many of you have ever personally by yourself led someone to Jesus? How many of you are ready to do it? How many personally, with the help of God, have healed, seen somebody healed that you prayed for? Okay. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Praise God. How many of you are just absolutely radically wetting your pants because you're afraid of this? God, anybody but me. Okay. But here we go. And this is interesting because it has a negative twist, but yet the man learned something from it. One Sunday night, a young man in our church fell at the back of the church and broke his arm. I found him laid out on the ground, his arm clearly broken. I got down on the ground with him, put my hand on his arm, looked at the break, and suddenly fear stole into my mind. I forgot every miracle I'd ever seen, and I said, "Let's call a doctor." Now, that's not bad. I wouldn't fault anyone for calling a doctor in that circumstance, but for me, the moment was personally revealing. I switched from supernatural mode into natural mode. I repented and apologized to the mother, not because I felt guilty and ashamed, but because I had a long way to go having my mind renewed. We must become students of miracles. Life lived in the supernatural. The miracles we experience must shape how we think. God gives us miracles to train us to see differently. This I found in a book called The Life of Miracles by Pastor Bill Johnson. You say, "Pastor, why do you read that?" Because all of us, as God has put places in our way to minister, have backed away from it. Every one of us. And God is saying, "Hey, I'm not holding grudges. I'm not taking gifts away. I'm not telling you you failed. I'm just telling you there's more." And God is calling us to live a life of the supernatural. If you are saved, you've had a supernatural experience. If you've ever been healed, you've had a supernatural experience. If you've ever seen and been part of casting demons out of someone, you've had a supernatural experience. And so today we're going there. I'm not preaching from this, but I got just a few things I want to share with you. And as I came in this morning, I just started writing some stuff down. It's time to walk in the supernatural anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. God's passion or love for people is that he loves them so much he wants to see them free and well. It's time to fulfill the prophecy, "Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father," John 14:12. You know, someone said there's never been a day of the supernatural, but there's always been a God of the supernatural. And so Jesus told us, and he called it a work. You know, ministry at times is work. But the interesting part of it is we allow him to do the work through us. So greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. It's time to fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they shall pick up serpents and shall not hurt them. If they drink any deadly thing, they will not harm them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's today. Listen, most of American churches wouldn't know how to handle a miracle. They wouldn't know how to handle the supernatural call of God on their lives. And they wouldn't know how to handle people getting saved. But it's time we come back. All of us come back to the full gospel. Bill Johnson said, and we told you months ago, that healing isn't the only thing in the gospel, but the gospel wouldn't be complete without it. Casting out devils isn't the whole gospel, but the gospel wouldn't be complete without it. And so God is leading us in a path that he wants us to walk, and too often we say, God, I can't do that. Of course you can't do it. But God does it through you. Okay, don't fold your hands and sit there like you just not going to listen. Okay, take them down. You're closing me out. Open them up. Come on. That's a sign. I've been studying some signs of body language, so I knew how to treat you folks. One of the signs is, I double dog dare you to bless me today, Pastor. I'm just going to... And so we're in a place where we just want to invite God to amazingly work in our lives. I would like for everyone today or tomorrow or the next day to read Luke chapter 8. It's an amazing chapter. We're going to take four incidents from Luke chapter 8 and minister to you on the ministry of Jesus. Jesus had just taught the parable of the sower. And then he got into a boat. Some of your translations or some of the places where this is written will say that Jesus was sleeping. And we're just going to take this a few verses at a time. Matthew 8:23-25. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he rose and rebuked the wind, the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. He commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. I want you to understand something, and please don't miss this. Jesus is master of the storms. We're going to tie that in with you in just a moment. I believe there's people sitting here right now who have rebuked the storms that they saw them coming over the farm or coming in the air and seen them dissipate. I remember being in International Falls years ago, my hometown. I was pastoring in Virginia, and we brought in kids from all over the region to knock on doors, hand out literature, and witness. And as we walked in the church, the storm hit. Before we ever prayed, before we ever did anything, the clouds opened up and just poured. And somebody said, what are we going to do? And I just went out there and I said, Father, you're in charge of this. In Jesus' name, rebuke the storm. Went in, had prayer, walked out, the sun was shining. I've heard stories of people seeing dark clouds coming and rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and they go. God is in charge of everything, but he's placed us in charge in his name with authority and power to rebuke the storm. Now let me take a little deeper. I wrote this down this morning. Jesus is the master of the storm. He's master of the storm around you. He's master of the storm in you. He's master of the storm that you're in. And he's master of the storm that you may see coming. Won't you understand that? He's master of the storm in you, and he's master of the storm that you're in. He's master of the storm around you, and he's master of the storm that you may believe is coming. I came in this morning and I knelt down to pray, and please, this is not about me. I couldn't get a family off my heart. And so this morning I called and I said, this pastor, huh? Well, hi, Dwight. And I said, what's going on? Oh, everything's fine. I said, okay. I said, you know, I came this morning and as I knelt to pray in here, I couldn't get you and your family off my mind. What's going on? Just like that, he began to open up. Big day of decisions, got to make a decision, or going to make a decision today. A few other things going on. We had prayer. I pray he had the peace that I had. But whatever you're going through, whatever storm is in you, and whatever storm you're in, he's still the master. It's not just the physical storm or nature's storm out there, forgive me. It's the storm that we face. It's the storm that we're going through. It's what's happening. It may be a storm of the banker, what he's told you. It may be a storm what the doctor's told you. It may be a storm of all kinds of stuff, but he's still the master of the storm. Praise God. So, Jesus gets out of the boat. Before I go on, how many are going through storms? If you're going through a storm, just stand. If you're not going through a storm, don't worry about it. But if you're going through a storm, we're going to do this through the 4 points this morning. If you're going through a storm right now, just stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are master of the storm that people face. And Jesus, I pray right now that you will free the people from the tentacles of the storm. And right now, just set them free. And Lord, you're in charge. Do away with that which is troubling people, making them agonize, making them worry, making them fearful. In the name of Jesus, supply every need. And Father, we speak peace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In a moment, you're probably going to stand again because we're going to pray each time. And the next time, well, maybe some of you won't stand on this next one, but it's somebody might. Luke 8. Verse number 26. And they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he stepped on the land, there met him, I'm in verse 26, verse 27 now. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in the house, but in tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it often seized him. And he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because there are many demons had entered him. and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine was feeding there in the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. And then the demons went out of the man, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place in the lake and drowned. This is going to sound crazy. Don't worry about the pigs. Those poor pigs! It's very interesting that the demons that controlled the man had no power controlling Jesus. It's very interesting, it took a word from the master to cast out the demon. And you know the rest of the story. The man went back to his hometown in his right mind, and he ministered to them where Jesus had told him to go. The interesting part of that is that the people came out and asked Jesus to depart. Anyone who's fighting oppression or possession of the enemy are not going to appreciate Jesus in you doing the supernatural. So you start stepping into the supernatural, if people get mad, so be it. Forgive me, so be it. Don't give any place to the devil in your ministry by backing away from what God's telling you to do. And so Jesus had power over all the works of Satan, and so do you. So do you. And demons must bow their knees to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and be set free. There's a lot of things going on in the churches of America. And it's time that we stop overlooking them and minister to the people who are being controlled by evil spirits. I heard a report this week that was very interesting. I wasn't even thinking about mentioning it till this morning. But 3 out of 5 men in churches in America are tied up into pornography. Many people are going through chemical issues. And we are called to set people free, and sometimes we need to be free ourselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Conrad, what's the difference between being bound by Satan and being free? It's a total different life. So this is going to be very interesting, and if nobody stands, I understand it. But how many in here right now are fighting a battle with Satan? How many here right now are being attacked with habits or chemicals or pornography or other things, and you've been free and you're slipping back? Anybody else? Yes, anybody else? I'm proud of you guys for standing. I'm standing. You're standing. If you're around these people, come and lay hands on them and get rid of the devil's attack. Just step out right now in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray with us. And you're going to see people free this morning. You're still struggling. There's still a struggle. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now, we take authority over the enemy. We take authority over what Satan is trying to do, and we break the power. We break that attachment through the mind and through habits in the name of Jesus right now. We tear it out in the power of Jesus' name. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we proclaim freedom now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Keep praying if you sense you need to. Keep praying. We want freedom here. We want freedom in the house. Hallelujah. right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now in the precious name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. And no more, devil. If you're standing up this morning and you stood up because of this, just tell the devil it's over. Say no more out loud. Just say it. No more, devil. Yes. No more, devil. I'm not your pawn. I'm not your servant. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And right now, we give praise to Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now listen, when you go out of here, when you go out of here, and somebody comes to you and say, I have this addiction, I have this, don't just say, it's okay, honey, you'll get over it. Take authority over it. They're coming to you for a purpose. You have the power. Say, I have the power.
I have the power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And no weapon formed against me, my family, or my friends are going to prosper. I'm taking a stand, Jesus. We win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 40. So behold, it was when Jesus returned that a multitude welcomed him, and they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, in verse 41. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. He had an only daughter, about 12 years of age. And she was dying, but as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, of course, everybody kind of, what do you mean, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you. And you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What's the answer to sickness? Touching Jesus. Touching Jesus. There comes a time when we have to put aside the doctor's reports. We have to put aside what our friends are telling us. We have to put aside the negative things we hear about somebody with that disease died just 3 months after they got it. And say, I'm standing. Jesus, I'm touching you. And you know something? You can't touch Jesus without him touching you. And we walk that out. We begin to live it. And we don't blame anything on getting old. We don't blame anything on all kinds of other stuff. We don't look at situations and say, this was hereditary in my family. My dad died of cancer. My grandpa died of cancer. My mother died of cancer. This one died of heart disease. This one died of this. This one died of this. So I guess I have to do it too. No, you don't. Do you realize we talk ourselves into sicknesses? Do you realize we can think so strongly? I'm not trying to scare somebody who's doing this, but we can think so strongly about a sickness that pretty soon we receive it. And God is saying, enough. Satan can't read your mind. Don't open up your mouth and share it with him. Come on. If you got something in your mind you're fearful of, please don't speak it out. You're telling the devil all about it. He'll beat you up with it. He'll kill you with it. Start confessing Jesus. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my source. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my lover. He loves me. And walk it out. This is for somebody here. Quit confessing you have a bad temper. Start saying you're peaceful. Hello? Anybody hear me?
Amen.
You know? Quit confessing the negative things of the devil. And for all of you, pray for rain, but don't start being negative. Oh, the crops are going to blow away. The dirt's going to be ground. Everything's going to happen. God help me. We haven't even got to April showers yet, and everybody's in a panic. Come on, folks. Isn't your God bigger than a dry spell? Forgive me. I'm sorry. I've heard it over and over and over, and I'm not minding Frida saying we need to pray for rain. I'm not saying that. But don't put yourself on the devil's side of the rain. Sickness. We've all been there. It's time right now, if you've got sickness in your body that's trying to take over, stand. I don't care if you stood the first time, the second time, or the third time. Let's deal with it. No, the Bible says that God calls the things that were not as though they were. He doesn't call the things that are as though there were not. So raise your hands and make this confession. Jesus, in your name and the power of your blood, I am well. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, I am healed in the name of Jesus. And Satan, I'm no longer accepting your lies. I'm deleting my email that came out of my mouth that confessed all the physical things about me. I am free and I am healed now in Jesus' name. No more questions. I'm walking in health. Thank him now. Give him a hand. Just give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many know you were touched? How many are hoping? Okay. Just thought I'd check. You see, it's hard to share with somebody healing if we haven't gone through it ourselves. In Jesus' name, we walk in healing. And you know something? I don't care how long it takes. My knee is healed, you know, just like my kidneys are. You know, I may not have the results of it that I want to see yet, but in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Okay, let's go back to poor Jairus. Verse 49 of chapter 8. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, if you wouldn't have taken so much time with that woman, my daughter would have been healed, but she's dead. Didn't say it. Who's got that translation? Jesus, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. So I'll just paraphrase it. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher. And Jesus said, boy, I'm sorry I didn't make it on time. Is that what he said?
No.
Can't hear you.
No.
Okay, I tell you, you got to bring your Bibles. Pastor may give you a different translation. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Why do you think he did that? I think there was a little bit of doubt there. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but she's sleeping." And they knew the dead from the living, so they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. And he put them outside, and he took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, arise." I heard somebody preach that what he said is, "Tabitha, arise," which is in some of your translations, which means time to go to a new level. And her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. I want you to understand something very, very specifically, because some of you are going to face a dead body, and Jesus is going to say, "Raise it." Now, I know you're wet. You need to understand, nothing is over until Jesus speaks. Nothing's over till Jesus speaks. Nothing is over till Jesus says it is. The doctor, the mortician, the county coroner, whoever it might be, do not have more authority than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I remember, and I've been reading about John G. Lake, and he'd raised the dead too, but I've been reading about Smith Wigglesworth. A lady was dead. He walked in and took her up and stood her up against the wall. She fell down. He picked her up and stood her up again and said, "Stay there. Now in Jesus' name, you're alive." She is alive. His own wife died, and he raised her from the dead for a few minutes until she passed away. Because God said, "She's coming to be with me." How many of you ever heard of St. Patrick? It might surprise you that he wasn't Catholic. But that's neither here nor there. I saw a film by Bill Johnson at the pastor's conference all about St. Patrick. One of his disciples, and I don't think it was St. Patrick, one of his disciples raised 33 people from the dead. You, when called on, need to be ready. I've seen the dead people rise again. I know it can happen. People say, "Oh, that can't happen." Who said it can't? Seemed like Jesus sent his disciples out to heal the sick and do what? Raise the dead. It's not about me. It's not for my glory. It's about God. And what he wants to demonstrate his love to people. I was reading, I have a book by Bill Johnson called The Life of Miracles. In fact, that's where I got the early story from. A young man from his church was walking into Walmart, I think it was, and this guy had a broken leg. And he looked at God and said, "God, you love me so much, you sent this man with a broken leg so you can heal him." Now, I can preach this until Curtis's cows come home. I can tell you all this stuff. I've seen much of what I preached this morning happen personally. And until you see it, there may be doubts in your mind. But take the doubts out and says, God's word says it, it'll happen. I was pastoring in Virginia, Minnesota. This happened many years ago. I can remember, Kirk, what happened 25 years ago. It's yesterday. And who are you, by the way? And I got a call from a lady that her uncle was dying with cancer and that he just simply didn't have any more time left. I walked into his room. He was in a coma. And I've seen this happen since, but this is the most remarkable one I've seen. Because something major happened. I walked in the room, took about 2 minutes to pray for him, no response, walked out, came back the next day, and he's sitting up in a chair. And with all my abundance of great faith, I looked at him and said, "What in the world happened to you?" And he said, "You prayed for me, remember?" Somehow he knew I was there. And he said, "It was pretty amazing, because when you prayed, it's not about me again, Jesus walked into my room and took my cancer. And he walked out of the hospital." So don't start looking at things and saying nothing happened. That's what Satan wants you to say. Whether you see it or not, believe it. Whether you feel it or not, believe it. Whether you have a visible sign that this happened, take hold of it, walk in the supernatural, and don't get discouraged. It's as you're fulfilling the Great Commission. Somebody's going to say no to you. And somebody's going to say, "We don't mix politics and religion. We don't talk about them." Who doesn't? I don't talk about religion, but I sure talk about Jesus. Now listen, look at me. This is important. It may sound like I'm pretty self-centered and I'm pretty selfish. You are released by the Holy Spirit to do signs, wonders, and miracles. You are released, as we told the people on Wednesday night, you are released to dream dreams and see visions. You are released to take the word of God and the anointing and the authority. And you, Martha, you're released. You're going to take it. How many are going to take it? How many are just going to take it and do it? How many are not going to back up anymore? How many is not going to be ashamed? If you're going to ready for that, give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Two things, and I'm done. If Satan has been tormenting you with the thoughts and the fears that you're dying, I want you to stand. If you know someone who's dying and God has told you to go pray for them, I want you to stand. Or even if you know somebody who's dying, just stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, as these hands are being laid on these people, we take authority over the mental attitude of death right now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke it. We speak health and long life into their beings. Their minds are renewed in Jesus' name, and we speak life right now. Satan, you're a liar. And we no longer believe your lies. We accept truth right now in Jesus' name. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. This deception and these lies must go now in Jesus' name. And Lord, for those who are standing because they're going to pray for somebody who's dying, give them your authority and your power and anointing right now in Jesus' name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall call life back into people. They shall break the bondages of Satan right now in Jesus' name. And we speak health and we speak life and we speak victory. We are more than conquerors. And Satan, your lies are conquered this morning in Jesus' name. And we give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. No more deception. No more lies. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, we pray for Andy and Barb. We know they've been going through some sickness. In Jesus' name, we speak health into their bodies. And whatever causing this sickness is rebuked and destroyed through the name of Jesus Christ. And any other family member here that I don't even know about who's going through sickness, again, we just rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Look at me. You are mighty warriors. You're not mighty wimps. You are children of the Most High God. You are people anointed and touched by God. And the thing that every one of us needs to do is not arrogance, it's not being cocky, it's not being proud, it's recognizing that we're King's kids, and our Father, our Heavenly Father, is the final authority of everything on this earth. And we're living like it. Just a little joke, and I'm done. Not a joke, just really happened. One day I was walking through Red Owl. And this lady, this person was complaining about everything. I don't like the prices. I don't like where they got stuff. I don't like anything. And finally she looked at me and said, "You shop here often?" I said, "Yeah, my father owns it." "He does." She just, "I got to go, boo, 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 boo." That lady should have had cart driver's lessons. Folks, it's okay to laugh. You're free to laugh. You're free to enjoy life. Don't start just taking the burdens and the weights and all the things that are trying to destroy you. Step out in the name of Jesus and walk in that anointing. You are blessed. God bless you.